Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What am I doing?
You're doing Robbie Williams' Millennium.
Why do you reckon I'm doing that?
Is that because we're talking about the Millennium Bug today?
Maybe
I'm in la 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 la. Oh, we could go on, couldn't we?
We could. All the noughties hits.
Shall we begin?
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Katie.
Hello, love.
It's Be More Cleverer. You join us again. This is where we dip our toe into a pool of knowledge and learn things.
To make us better people, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already quite good. Katie's a bit better. So we've made ourselves substantially better.
You say that. Now would probably be a good time to say that in a couple of episodes' time, we are going to be doing a quiz episode.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too cocky about how you're better than me. Because it'll probably backfire.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably true.
So Jack is right. We do dip our toes into the pool of knowledge in an attempt to make ourselves basically better. Self-improvement, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Last week, I told you about the chart, Katie.
Yes.
The UK's official chart.
Official chart.
And then I wanted you to tell me all about this. But it's something that caused mass panic.
Right.
I would like you to tell me all about what the hell the Millennium Bug was about.
Why do you care?
What? So yeah, the Millennium Bug.
Yes. The Millennium Bug.
A weird one, granted, I'll give myself that.
Why did we find it so hilarious when you asked me that?
I don't know, it's just in my list. And like, so you might be the same. I've got loads of like notes in my phone that I'm like, what?
About the Millennium Bug?
Not about the Millennium Bug. Those are causing my notes to be so weird. No, I've just got loads of random notes. I'm like, what? And I saw that one and I'm not even sure if it was meant to be like a potential topic. I just thought I'd read it out.
Oh, why else did you have it in your phone, the Millennium Bug?
Well, I don't know. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's lots of notes in my phone where I cannot explain why I've written those in there.
Well, nonetheless, since you said that to me, I have now gone and found out all about the Millennium Bug. So
good.
Let's hope that you're still happy with that decision.
Yeah, I'm bored now. If you could do something else, that'd be great.
No, I've spent the past week learning all the things about the Millennium Bug, something that I knew absolutely nothing about. I didn't know about it. I knew that it was a thing.
You spent a week researching the Millennium Bug. It took you a week.
Yes, I always spend the whole week.
It took you one whole week to know everything about the Millennium Bug.
Yes, it did.
It was that big.
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready to learn.
I mean, I know that you literally just get Wikipedia in front of you as you go through your topics.
Okay, I'm counting this now. This is about 8 times. I'm calling this slander. You'll be hearing from my lawyer. So
what? I accuse you of using Wikipedia.
It's a slander.
I will take
defecation.
You down. No, not defecation.
Which one is it?
That defamation.
Defamation of character.
Okay.
You pubis. Now get on.
Do you want to know about this or not?
Yes.
Because I've got the knowledge. I've got the knowledge for you to suckle on. Do you want it or not?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then let's begin. So, how did I start learning all about the Millennium Bug? I Googled the Millennium Bug.
Sure.
Good place to start. First thing that came up was a Wikipedia page entitled The Year 2000 Problem.
Is that what it was called?
That's another thing that it was called.
Who knew about that one?
I know.
Arguably a better title.
I know. And I knew nothing about this, really. And as I say, I don't use Wikipedia for my research. But when it comes to me knowing absolutely nothing, the first line on a Wikipedia article can be quite useful.
Yeah.
So this is what the first line of Wikipedia says about the Millennium Bug / Year 2000 problem.
Okay.
Problems arose because programmers represented the four-digit year with only the final two digits. This made the year 2000 indistinguishable from 1900. The assumption that a 20th century date was always understood caused various errors, such as the incorrect display of dates and the inaccurate ordering of automated dated records or real-time events. But what does any of that mean?
So basically, does that mean, like, as many timers do? In a 24-hour clock, for example, you're nearing the top of an hour, so it's like 59,
yeah,
00, 00, 01, 02.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was all to do with the year 2000 being a problem, specifically the last two digits, 00. Because since the 60s, also, that most computers recorded years with the last two digits. Rather than 1993, it'd be 93.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why, I don't know if they thought computers would be a fad. They just didn't think past the year 2000.
They just didn't think about it.
Which is just mad, isn't it? It's like, why, like, the year 2000 isn't really that far away.
No.
I don't know why.
It's like when people in the 60s thought that the 90s were going to be like flying cars and, yeah, hello, welcome to the car of tomorrow.
Well, the problem was that when the new millennium arrived, people got worried that computer clocks would see 00 and understand it to mean 1900. And that was a really big problem. It wasn't just a problem with, like, your computer saying the year 1900, because you could just fix that.
You could change
it. It was more of a problem that what the computer understood to be 1900 could mean problems with, say, computer transactions.
Yeah.
If you remember from our series one episode about the internet, the first online transaction took place in 1994.
Yeah.
So computer transactions are very much on then. Literally anything where the date was automated could cause big problems, like with banking and government records.
Yeah.
It could cause, like,
I think corrupt.
The issue was, and I was thinking this when I first understood what this meant, I was trying to work out the full scale of the problems that it could incur. I actually couldn't, and I think that was really the problem. People didn't know. It was the unknown. They didn't know what problems it could cause.
It could corrupt a really confidential file, but it could not. People didn't know.
That, or the other hand, it could do absolutely nothing. Yeah, that was really the issue.
Mm. Yeah, I get that, actually. I get the fright.
This whole thing prompted governments all over the world to take precautions in the industry, and also in the UK, the government went as far as making sure that the general public were across everything, making sure that they had put their plans in place.
So strange when you think about this.
I don't know if it was because the UK was that much more developed that they thought we need to get to, like, the general public and make sure they know what's going on here.
This is mad.
But they just went to make sure the public and sort of smaller businesses were ready. And they set up something called the UK Action 2000.
Okay. Classic UK. You cannot get more British.
They made leaflets saying, your business is in danger.
I remember an advert.
Do you?
Yeah, actually, this is one thing I really remember was this over the top, really over the top. It was like, if you do not, like, it was like, be wary of the future. If you do not follow and adhere to our government rules, you could die.
Well, they implemented this simple 5-layer bug test. That was what you had to do.
Come on.
And otherwise, you'd have problems. You'd probably die. But then, actually, I say that. It all sounds very dramatic. Also, in this leaflet, apparently, they sort of dispelled myths and said, OK, calm down, though, guys. It's probably not going to be an issue.
It's just a bug, dears.
At this point, I'm going to introduce a lady called Gwyneth Flower.
Thanks.
And she was the MD, Managing Director of Action 2000.
Short-lived job.
I know, I wonder what she's doing now. I think she's still doing that, waiting for the next thing.
She's waiting.
But Gwyneth, actually, we like Gwyneth. Introduces the idea that people were going mad about this.
She sounds very New Labour.
She does, Gwyneth. Well, she said in an interview, there were a few eccentrics. One woman virtually moved her whole family to a remote house in Scotland with water only from a well at the bottom of the garden because she thought it would be Armageddon.
No way did someone do that.
Apparently, yes.
That's ludicrous.
I've been looking into this whole thing and I totally believe that someone would do that.
That's
people
ludicrous.
People were losing their minds. I totally believe that someone would do that.
Only got water from a well outside her house.
The implications of the millennium bug, Y2K, were described by Tony Blair.
Hello.
Do you remember him?
Okay. Yes. It's a good impression. I used to do a really good Tony Blair.
Did you?
I used to do a...
What are you
I'm
okay?
doing my Gordon Brown. Can you give me a minute?
What was that? That was so strange.
Oh, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Great impression.
Tony Blair described it as one of the most serious problems facing not only British business, but the global economy. Also, we're now going to bring in another humorously known person called Paddy Tipping, who was the minister for the Millennium Bug.
Oh, come on!
No!
Get out!
So Paddy said, part of our job was to keep on top of the hype. We had to downplay it and persuade people that there was a strong government initiative working. Many people made their names, saying it would be a catastrophe.
This is... Yeah, also, Paddy, many people made their names saying it wasn't going to be a thing. Yeah. Minister for...
No, but I think he's right. He's saying everyone needed to calm down. Yeah. I think that's what Paddy's saying. Paddy Tipping. Paddy Tipping, Gwyneth Flower. Remember these names.
This is outrageous. This is, I cannot believe, like, I knew it was over the top, but I didn't know they, like, had a special government wing.
At this point, I bring in Michael S. Hyatt. Not okay. nearly as much of an enjoyable name as either of the previous two.
Nah.
So, when I was looking into Y2K,
yeah.
I came across a book called The Millennium Bug, How to Survive It. How to Survive the Coming Chaos.
How to Survive It!
Released in 1998. It was available on Amazon. Amazon was on then.
Amazon was on in 1998?
Yes. And I know this because I found some Amazon reviews of the book written by
good.
Michael S. Hyatt.
This is good.
These reviews were written in 98.
This is good.
But the reason I bring these in is because they give a good insight into the mindset of those who are particularly concerned about what was going to happen. So... Here's the first one.
Okay.
You ready for these?
Uh-huh.
The millennium bug is very real and will definitely have a significant impact on all of us. Again, it is wise to prepare for the worst, and this book appears to provide useful information in that effort. I intend to send copies to family members.
I intend.
We mustn't laugh at them, because these people are genuinely worried.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But this is like, there were so many reviews like this. People were really, really worried about this.
This was like 2012 when people thought the world was going to end.
Okay, do you want another one?
Yeah.
This is a long one, by the way. Are you ready? I can't tell you how many times I've reread the brownout and blackout scenarios. I don't know what a brownout is. People just don't understand the embedded chip problem within our electric, water and banking industries. Without electricity, there is nothing else. How will a person prepare who is unaware of the potentially devastating effects of the Y2K crisis? I have persuaded my family to store enough water, batteries, candles and non-perishable food items for at least 3 weeks. If it is less than that, great.
3 weeks. Not even that long, really.
I know. But they say, if it's less than that, great. If it's longer than that, many people will be at their wits' ends and do whatever it takes to obtain those things. I don't want to be one of those who are caught unprepared. How about you? I highly recommend this book. But beware, once you read the book, you will feel some kind of sick feeling in your stomach. So carefully decide to do something, anything to prepare, even if it is something small. Like it says in the book, it is better to take some action than no action.
I want to read the book.
I mean, we know that... We don't know exactly what happened yet. We're not up to that bit in the episode yet. But we know we didn't...
We're still here, so...
I mean, they don't know. What I'm saying is they don't know at this point what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Last one for you. I thought I would have a hard time concentrating on the cyber language, for I am a novice. Quite the contrary. Not only is Mr. Hyatt an accomplished computer expert, his writings are consumer friendly. It's a must read for every single person. There will be some form of chaos come January the 1st, 2000.
How wrong they were.
But do you know that? You don't know what happens yet.
No, true.
I mean, we're still here.
We're still here. And we've got iPhones now, which is quite good.
At this point, they... I know, be careful that bug they had.
It's like the clap.
At this point... It's not like the clap. It's definitely not the clap. At this point in my research, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this was going on in my lifetime, but I didn't really know much about it. So I wanted to know what it was like to have all of this kind of bombarded at you. Because I just don't remember it. I was a mere child. So I made a phone call. I mean, I literally could have chosen anyone out of about 60 million people who had experienced this. But I spoke to this person.
Hello?
Hey, Dad, you all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. And you?
Good, thank you. What are you doing? Are you busy?
I'm in the car at the moment.
I was wondering if I could ask you some questions for the podcast.
Yes, I guess so, yeah. What can I do for you then?
The old parent trick. I would never do this.
You definitely didn't do that in the Rat Pack episode.
No.
But I spoke to my dad.
I'm excited to hear from Wayne.
Yeah, because I knew that he would, out of anyone, he worked in a company that used a lot of computers.
Yeah.
To my mind, he is the first person that used a computer.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
From my memory, he was the first one I knew to be using a computer at work. He definitely was using it before 2000.
That makes sense.
Okay, next part. I was wondering if you could tell me what you remember about the Millennium Bug.
About the Millennium Bug? Ah, right. Yes. So there was lots of media coverage around that computers would not be able to cope with the switch from 1999 to the year 2000. A lot of computers, as they clicked over at midnight, would stop working.
So, Wayne Bowden, my father, did seem to be quite across.
Yeah.
He had no idea I was calling him, by the way. He was literally just in his car. It was like he'd been waiting his whole life to be asked
it
that question.
It was like, I can't wait to... this, because it felt like, in his mind, he went, aha, I knew when I said, one day I'll look back and tell my family about this.
Yeah.
It finally happened.
No, he was ready for it. He had some memories of some... quite, I mean, we've already spoken about the potential consequences of it, like banking and government records. This is something that surprised me a little bit, though.
There was lots of sort of scare stories. stories about planes falling out of the sky and
no.
tragedies. Seriously,
planes falling out of the sky.
Yep, because the computers that ran the planes would stop because they wouldn't be able to cope with that rolling over from 1999 to 2000. But that was all. Those were all theories. There was rumour with probably not a great deal of substance or science behind it. But nevertheless, a lot of people expected things to go wrong.
Do you reckon that Y2K was the Brexit of 99?
I think so, yeah.
And, like, also mass chaos.
Absolutely. So, yeah, planes falling out of the sky.
Yeah, and also, I kind of get it.
So my dad back then, actually, he still does, worked for a company where I thought this was would be a problem. That was why I called him. He works for a large company.
A large data analyst company.
What is a data analyst?
I don't know what he does.
He works for a soft drinks company. I've told you this.
Oh, yeah, you worked there for a bit.
I did work there for a
Coca-Cola.
Bit. Yes. So I asked Dad a little bit about how they coped with it.
We were concerned that our production machines would all stop because the computers wouldn't cope. So there was a lot of money invested to make sure that they were able to cope with that switchover.
Interesting. I didn't really think about that. I didn't really think about the implications of, I guess, investing money to look at alternative solutions.
That was very much a thing. And there was no real way to be like, we're definitely covered for any situation.
Yeah. How do you know?
That was the problem.
You can. It's so frustrating because all you can do is wait until 11:59.
Well, that's what situation my dad was in.
There was still a lot of nervousness around whether that would work and what would happen. So at the time, I was plant manager for a manufacturing site, and I was actually on call at the Millennium.
We were Uncle Kevin's, weren't we?
Yes, yeah, we were. We were partying, but I was actually on call at the same time, Kate.
I don't think you were very on call, to be honest, from what I remember.
No, seriously. We were every plant manager was on call and asked to confirm that the factory would still work and that there were no issues.
No, seriously.
He's very much ready to be like, don't you dare slander my name, daughter.
No, seriously. He was on call, so.
I was on call in case maybe his line manager from the year 2000 might be listening to his podcast and say, you were partying. We were Uncle Kevin's.
You're partying like it was 1999.
But he was. I know, that cracked me up. But was it all fine in the end?
It was. The new millennium began, and it was all, in a sense, a big anti-climax, the millennium bug, because I think there was very few, I don't remember any examples of any computer-controlled equipment that actually stopped.
I want to know, did anything ever happen?
Dad said not much happened. Got a list of things that did happen around the world.
Okay.
So, this was a list that I found. I couldn't find anything more in-depth than this. Considering it was such a worldwide problem, these seem to be all that happened. The official timekeeper in America, the Naval Observatory, reported the date as 19100 on its website. Mm. In Japan, the system collecting flight information on small planes failed. You never know how big scale these sorts of problems are. They sound like not a big thing. Maybe it was a big deal, but
yeah.
I don't know. In Australia, bus ticket validation machines failed.
Oh, my God. Will someone please think of the children?
Nightmare. In America, over 150 slot machines at racetracks in Delaware failed. Can you believe it? In the UK, some credit card transactions failed. Another issue that occurred in the UK, though, was that more than 150 pregnant women got incorrect results for tests for Down syndrome. Their unborn children.
Oh, wow.
That's the thing. I suppose they wouldn't have anticipated that to be a thing that might happen. And that was really the worry with this whole thing.
And also, were they getting their tests done at midnight?
I don't know how that would have been caused.
Interesting.
In connection to this. But, I mean, the general consensus about the Millennium Bug, to conclude, is similar to that of Wayne Bowden. It's a bit of a fuss over nothing. But really, it seems like that fuss needed to have happened for it to be nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these little things that came from Y2K kind of random and so disconnected that it seemed like it needed to become a worldwide phenomenon to be able to stop it from being a thing.
Yeah.
So do you feel more informed about
I do.
Y2K?
What you've enlightened me to is the idea that actually this could have been a ploy by major corporations to invest money in better systems, and they needed a reason to do it, and this was their reason.
You just don't know, do you?
You just don't know. It's very. I'd never thought about that. I thought that was just humans being stupid. Mm. But actually, whether the idea that it was far more premeditated is interesting, and I've never thought about that before.
I know, me neither.
Hmm.
But that's the millennium bug.
That's the millennium bug, the old Y2K.
I know, I feel like I've caught up a little bit.
You feel like you've caught the bug?
No. Oh, no. No, I've not caught
the God,
bug.
Get out of the room!
Oh, God, my dates are all wrong. No, it's all fine.
Your dates are always wrong.
At this point, we would usually give the other one a topic for next time.
Yeah, but next time is going to be our Series 2 closer.
Finale.
And as Katie hinted, we've been thinking about this for a while, kind of doing a little pop quiz.
Yes. We're going to be looking back on the episodes of Series 1 and 2 and quizifying each other to see if we've actually learned a thing. Because the essence of this whole podcast came about because we wanted to learn more things. But what can we remember? And it should be fun. If you've listened to every episode so far, then you can play along.
Play along. That's a really fun idea. And I think two series feels like the right amount to kind of reflect and look back. Katie, what if the Millennium Bug attacks this podcast? You've not thought about it?
I'll probably put some pamphlets through some doors just to stop that happening. I'll give Gwyneth Flower a call. She'll know what to do. Maybe... Paddy Tipping. He'll know what to do. Maybe I should move to Scotland. Buy some tinned goods.
And you could join Gordon Brown in Scotland right now. Goodbye.
What?
Een nieuwe uitlaat nodig? Of motorolie? 123autoparts.nl heeft werkelijk alles voor je auto. 123autoparts.nl.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.